get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 1 Timothy, where we will find many of the great doctrines of church, life, and practice spelled out. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today. We jumped in first six verses last week, so I won't say a lot about those other than to recap. Same thing. Sister Mary's outing me. Says don't even try that. That's the same thing, just calling it something different. We're talking about the dangers of false teaching. And by now, in our journey together, you should be very familiar with the fact that the New Testament talks about the dangers of false teaching over and over and over again. You just can't get away from it any place you turn in the Scriptures. So that should tell us something, shouldn't it? It should tell us primarily that false teaching was prevalent in the New Testament period. But it should also tell us, and we get this from verse 1 of chapter 4. Notice it says, Paul writes, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith. So that should tell us also that in these days that we live in, we're going to be confronting false teaching. Now, we don't like, well, some folks don't like to call teaching false. Some folks shy completely away from calling any teaching false, and instead they succumb to what I call the unholy trinity that is prevalent in America today. And of course, one of the clubs that folks use to bludgeon Christians with, if you have the audacity to say that's not really Bible teaching, that's your teaching, it's your opinion, but you can't root that in the Bible no matter how hard you try. And one of the clubs that people use to silence us from saying that is political correctness. Well, that's just not appropriate. Well, I beg to differ. In fact, the Scripture exhorts us and admonishes us again and again and again and again to call things what they are. Right, Sister Mary? Call it what it is. If it's false teaching, it's false. And listen, this isn't a matter of personal opinion. It's a matter of, does it line up with the Scripture? That's the criteria. And along those same lines, and you've heard me say this 100 times if you've heard me say it once, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It doesn't matter what I think about something. Now, I'm going to share my opinion with you from time to time, but I try to preface it in that way. Here's my opinion. But what's important is, are the things that I say consistent with what the Scripture teaches? Amen. That's the important thing. Now, you're allowed to have a differing opinion on things, and some of you do.
That's right.
You have differing opinions on things, and that's okay. I love you anyway. And Jesus is going to straighten you out when we get to heaven. So, oops, did I say that out loud? Some of you said that to me. That's okay, Pastor. Lord will straighten you out when you get to heaven. You know, some of you are going to have rooms right next to each other. You know that? And that'll be payback. Because you know what? We're all going to see eye to eye when we're in His presence. And then we'll know completely and truly all that needs to be known. And we'll see His glory. A glory that's hard to describe in space and time, isn't it? It's only in eternity when we're going to see His glory as He really is. Until that time, it is our responsibility and task to what? Let it shine through us. Let it shine through us. So don't put up obstacles and don't put things in the way that's going to block the light of Christ in you. If we belong to Jesus, if we're born again, brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And Christ said that when you have the Holy Spirit living within you, He said it will be like rivers of water flowing, gushing, torrents of living water flowing out of you. Oh, now there's a picture. Don't hold it in. Let it out. So false teaching, in these first six verses, Paul gives us some very specific words. And I just want to say, by way of introduction, that apostasy really is anything that's a departure from God's truth. That's all it is. That's all false teaching is, if it doesn't line up with the Scripture. We see in verse 1 then that false teaching or apostasy is the word that he uses in this passage. We see that the origin of false teaching is with Satan. Well, of course it is. He says false teaching comes through deceitful spirits. How many of you understand that the reality, the really real, is not this that we see and behold? The really real is the spiritual realm. How many of you know that you are a spiritual person? And I'm not talking if you're a born-again believer. I'm talking you're a spiritual person whether you're born again or not. Your essence, your core, is a spirit person. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means primarily within this context that your spirit person is going to transcend space and time. What are you talking about, Mike? That means when you leave this earth, when your spirit leaves this earthly tent that we call a body, you're still existing. You're cognizant that you're still in reality. But you're going to understand that reality is something completely different than what we experience in space and time. Eternity is the really real. This is just a dry run for eternity. That's why we encourage people, we exhort people, get it right. This is practice. You have to apply yourself to get it right. So there are spirits, and not all spirits, brothers and sisters, are looking out for your good. Do you know that? There are spirits in the world that are trying to destroy you. Because they're taking orders from our enemy, Satan. Satan, the Bible says, what? Is a roaring lion, prowling to and fro, seeking whom he can, what, devour. So if that's his mission, what do you think his minions' mission is? Same thing. Seek to destroy you. So spirits are real. And notice that false teaching, that's the origin through deceitful spirits. And then he gets very specific doctrines of demons. And again, he's not talking about the teaching about demons. He's talking about the teaching that originates from demons. I'll give you one today. Jesus Christ was a man who became a God. He was not the preexistent Son of God. What is that teaching called? Well, it's heresy, obviously. It's blasphemy, obviously. But it's anti-Trinitarian. Anti-Trinitarianism is on the rise, brothers and sisters. It is on the rise. There are a great many, and I'm not even going to bother naming names. You've heard me name them before, but there are a great many folks on our television sets, huge, successful, multi-millionaire preachers that are anti-Trinitarian. They blaspheme the name of God, and yet they're getting away with it. Well, not around here, but. So, false teaching originates with Satan, doctrines of demons. Notice in verse 2 that this false teaching, by means of the hypocrisies of liars seared in their own conscience. So this false teaching, the teaching of demons, is mimicked by false teachers. They just take it. They accept it. Now, they think, oh, I found a new revelation. I've got a new rhema. No, no, no. You've got apostasy that was given to you. You've got false teaching that was given to you by the demons. If it is not consistent with the scriptures, brothers and sisters, it did not come from God. That much we know. So it's incumbent upon us not to play around with that stuff. If it's false, it's false. I don't care how nice it's packaged. I don't care what ministry it comes from. If it's false teaching, it's false teaching. So it originates with Satan. It's mimicked by false teachers. And then notice in verses 3 through 5 that it's demonstrated by teaching that's not rooted in the scriptures. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from certain foods. People come up with all kinds of strange doctrines today that they say, well, this is biblical. Well, show me where that's biblical. Well, they can't do that because it isn't biblical. No, it's their opinion. Everybody can have an opinion. But don't try and elevate. And I had this discussion of all places on Facebook this week. Hey, I've co-opted the attitude of my brother Troy. Facebook for me is a ministry. You know, there's a lot of knuckleheads out there on Facebook that think they're believers and they ain't got a clue what Christianity really is about. Now, I don't jump on all. I don't know. I don't jump on anybody, but I don't address. I wouldn't have time to address all the silliness that I see on Facebook. But this one in particular I had to respond to and told him that what he was advocating was demonstrably false. People don't like to be told that. But we have an obligation, and I only do it when the Spirit moves me to do it, because again, I can't address everything. But he didn't like that too much. And so the conversation, I tried to point him to the truth and getting back on the path, and his response each time was attacking me. I thought, you don't even know me, first of all. And secondly, I've got to tell you something. When you leave the issues and the facts of the conversation and you begin attacking the person, I know I've won already. I've won that conversation. You've got nothing left to discuss on the subject matter, so you attack me. I can back away now and let the Holy Spirit do His work. I've laid the truth out there. Now, He's going to beat you up. I don't have to fret or wring my hands. Of course, I learned that a long time ago. People have been disparaging my character for years, so this is nothing new. I've been beat up for a long time. And you get used to it after a while. It just is what it is. Someone said yesterday, we had men's study, and we were kind of talking about this yesterday. And so, you know, one of the things that you learn to do as a teacher, as a pastor, is that you really do develop thick skin. You really do. And I don't mean thick skin in that you're insensitive, but what I mean by thick skin is you don't take things personally. So you understand, when you're presenting the truth of God's Word and somebody wants to argue and attack you, they're really going after Jesus. They're going after the truth. So don't take things personally. But anyway, apostasy, so it originates with Satan. It's mimicked by the false teachers. And then in verses 3 through 5, it's demonstrated by teaching things that are not rooted in the Scriptures. Verse 6, then, I pointed out to you three things there that we can do to combat false teaching. And this is incumbent upon anyone, not just a pastor, not just a teacher, but believers in general, need to grab a hold of those three things in verse 6. So Paul says, in pointing these things out to the brethren, what things? The false teaching. that it originates with Satan, it's mimicked by false teachers, and that it's demonstrably false because it's not consistent with the Scriptures. So in verse 6, "And pointing these things out to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." So notice those three things there. A servant of the Lord teaches the truth, pointing out these things. Do you know how many pastors and teachers refuse to point out falsehood today? They try to skirt around the issues. And you know why? Because they're more concerned about offending someone than they are about offending God. It is my personal conviction that a pastor teacher should be more concerned about pleasing his master than he is about pleasing the sheep. So we must always point out falsehood. In order to point out falsehood, you have to be equipped. Do you understand that? You can't point out falsehood just because you disagree with something. You got to have something to back it up, right? I mean, if you're going to point out falsehood, you have to tell why it's false. And the reason why it's false better be rooted in the Scripture. So Paul says what? The second thing is that we are nourished on the words of the faith. And notice this dirty little phrase there. Sound doctrine. Ooh, doctrine. Ooh. Now notice something. This is not your opinion. Notice the definite article. Nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine. So it's not a matter of opinion. The sound doctrine is already established. It's the Bible. Well, but you can have all kinds of disagreements. Listen, no interpretation is a matter of personal opinion. God will give the interpretation by His Holy Spirit. We're not free to just make stuff up. And I've told you 100 times if I've told you once. I've probably made that statement 1,000 times. You have every right to call me on something if you think, no, wait a minute, Mike, could you answer this question? Because I'd like to know more about this, because here's where I'm at on this, and this is what where you're at. And so they seem to be contrasting. So how do we reconcile that? You have every right to do that. And I encourage you to do that. I have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. Because I'm not coming before you as a man pleaser, as a hireling. Lord knows, and so does the board, I ain't in it for the money. I aim to please my master, who's called me. He cannot be the center of my life unless I am faithful and true to Him. And my calling is to teach the Word. So we must point these things out, and we're able to point them out because we're in the Word. We know what the Bible says. We're nourished on the words of the faith and of sound doctrine. And notice that it says not just an ability to point things out, not just being in the Word, but the last thing there, which you have been following. So what does it mean? What is that saying? That means you lead by example. See, you can talk all day long about what you believe, and somebody can take a 30-second snippet of your life, and if it's inconsistent with the things you say you believe, they're going to discard everything you said. That's just a fact of life. Now, does that mean that we're all perfect? Absolutely. Are you kidding me? If we only called perfect people to the assembly on Sundays for our meetings, nobody'd be here, including me. But we can't just talk it and then do the opposite. There's a word for that, right? What is it? Hypocrisy. Yeah, hypocrisy. And that's a charge leveled at the church in a good many instances. When I say the church, I mean God's people. That's a charge leveled at God's people in a good many instances justly. We are hypocrites. When we say we believe something and then we live totally the opposite, the world has every right to call us on it. And I can tell you from personal experience, nothing stings harder than to have an unsaved person rebuke you. I'd rather receive 39 lashes, save one, from the Lord than to be rebuked by a lost person. That stings. Because the first thing I think about is my Lord that I let down in the eyes of this lost person. Lost people don't forgive quite as fast as our Lord and Savior. He is faithful and just to forgive if we will confess our sins and repent. Lost people, man, they'll throw that back in your face every opportunity they get. So model it, lead it by example. So, that was a little lengthier introduction than I thought, so you were right, Mary. Verse 7. Verse 7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only, I apologize, for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, you can draw a contrast between verse 6 and verse 7 here. See, if we're not filling our minds with God's truth, then we're going to fill them with something else. If you're not filling your mind with God's word, if you're not filling your mind with His praises, if you're not filling your mind thinking about Him and living for Him, if He's not directing your path, you will fill your mind with something. And I have to admit, when I was chewing on this verse, I was talking about worldly fables fit only for old women, I couldn't help but think about The View. And I apologize for putting that picture in your mind, but I thought, yeah, that epitomizes that verse right there. A bunch of cranky old women sitting around thinking they know something about something. And they don't know squat about squat. That's all I'm going to say about that. Life's like a box of chocolates. The picture here that emerges, brothers and sisters, from worldly fables, that's an interesting word there because it's the same thing. If you look back in chapter 1, verse 4, in Paul's opening to this letter, he says, don't pay attention to what? Myths and endless genealogies. That's the same word, myths, fables, here in chapter 4. It's the very same word. Now, within the context that he's using this word, it has to do with folks that were bringing in their pagan and idolatrous practices. Because remember, Ephesus was a center of paganism. It had the Temple of Diana. You remember from Acts that Paul about got beat up because they were trying to ruin the idol manufacturing trade in Ephesus. You remember that? And they got Paul out of there, but they drug Justin, I think his name was, before then. They were going to beat him up. So it has to do with bringing these pagan idolatrous practices into the church. And most of them, folks, were centered on sexuality and sexual perversions and the like. And so Paul is pointing this out. And that phrase there, old women, that's the only place that this is used in the New Testament. It's never used anyplace else. And what he means by this is, he's not trying to be disparaging, but what he means by that is they're absurd. They're silliness. They have no place in the body of Christ, these kinds of myths and fables and practices. So he says, instead of that, notice the phrase in verse 7, on the other hand. So instead of doing those things, focusing on those things, filling your mind with those things, instead, on the other hand, what? Discipline yourself. What is that calling you to? Brothers and sisters, that's calling you to an active participation in the faith.
Oh. want to get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.ccclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@ccclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.